It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Mary Thomas Hart. She's the Environmental Council, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Washington, D.C. So good to see you.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
Okay. Let's see. Most of the time when we hear the word litigation, most of us go running the opposite direction. That's kind of a magnet for you, though. Litigation just kind of follows you, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that NCBA participates in litigation, so our producers don't have to, right? So we are quite busy in the litigation front. And I think a lot of people really think that our work in D.C. focuses on the Hill and with the administration, but we're also pretty active in the judicial branch.
And I would imagine one that's just popped back up, you thought it was maybe put away, waters of the U.S. and navigable waters, and it's all kind of one big mess.
Yeah, is that? I think that's a pretty accurate description. So in April 2020, the Trump administration finalized the Navigable Waters Protection Rule, and NCBA and a group of other ag organizations and industry organizations went to work defending that rule in court. We're currently involved in a number of federal court cases across the country, but in total, there are 15 federal legal cases considering the legality of the Navigable Waters Protection Rule. So those are all in different stages of litigation. But during President Biden's first week in office, he issued an executive order requiring all administrative agencies to consider a lot of the rules that were finalized during the Trump administration. And we recently saw a request from the Department of Justice on behalf of the EPA to a federal court in Massachusetts to remand litigation on the Navigable Waters Protection Rule. So that doesn't mean that the Navigable Waters Protection Rule isn't the law of the land. It is currently the law of the land in all 50 states. But EPA, through the Department of Justice, have requested that they be able to pull that rule back and continue to reconsider it internally. So our litigation on the Navigable Waters Protection Rule is on hold right now, but NWPR is the rule of law across the country.
Now, I think one of the last times you and I talked, we talked about how easy it is to go see EPA because they're literally right across the street from here. Have you been able to start building some relationships with the new administration? Because obviously it does take some time when a new administration does get here.
You're right, Tony. The office is right across the street, but during a pandemic, it's been tough to get in the building. Not that doesn't mean, though, that we haven't started to build those relationships. We're really excited about Administrator Michael Regan. He comes from North Carolina, where, you know, a pretty heavy ag state, especially with a lot of livestock production. So we're excited to have him in that position. And he's made very clear from the beginning that his intent is to, you know, find the middle ground between opposing groups, because I think he sees that environmental issues have a history of just kind of flipping back and forth based on who's the president, right? And so he really desires to find something that will be workable for everyone, but especially has made an effort to include agricultural stakeholders in policy development, especially in the early stages. So we've already had multiple meetings with Administrator Regan. Our NCBA leadership has had the opportunity to speak with the administrator, and I think that he really is interested in getting input from agricultural groups.
We talk about having something you can kind of count on there that will not be flip-flopping back and forth. You can go back a few years, okay, more than 30, 40 years, and something known as the Endangered Species Act. That's been pretty stable as far as a rule in the past. Is it working?
The ESA has been fairly stable in the past, but I think we've seen, you know, although it's stable, it's tough to get a species delisted once it's recovered, right? So during the Trump administration, the the Department of Interior finalized a number of ESA rules to modernize implementation of that act. I mentioned earlier that a lot of Trump administration rules are being reconsidered by this new administration. So there's currently ongoing litigation related to those ESA rules. And again, NCBA is part of the group that's defending the modernization of those rules in court. And that's happening largely in the Ninth Circuit in California. The Department of Interior has pulled those rules back for reconsideration. So I think, you know, any major rules, especially in the environment and natural resources space, at the beginning of this administration have been kind of pulled back. And we haven't seen any formal decisions on where we're going to go. But I think that the Biden administration is taking a close look at how to maybe best implement those rules.
So let me just throw out an acronym, NEPA.
Thank you.
That was easy.
Yes, very easy. Easier said than managed, right? So NEPA is yet another example. We got some really nice rules during the Trump administration related to NEPA and how that very complex environmental statute is implemented. I think, you know, we've seen the increased weaponization of NEPA, maybe, you know, NEPA used as a way to prevent things that would be positive both for the environment and, you know, the person who's applying for a permit. And federal grazing is a really good example of that. But NCBA is, again, in the courtroom defending these updated NEPA rules. And so it'll be interesting to see where the Biden administration goes with those and where our federal court system takes them. Because I think it's always important to remember, you know, what's waiting at the end of the litigation process, right? It's a Supreme Court with a 6-3 conservative majority that typically doesn't like to give a lot of agency deference. So it'll be interesting to see where these rules go and if they make it to the Supreme Court.
Okay, final one here. You mentioned the administration, and you also have a Congress that has move something up to right near the top of the list on their agenda, and that deals with climate. And we throw sustainability in there as well. Some would argue that if the industry wasn't sustainable, you wouldn't be here today. How do you work both of these together, and what are you watching?
Now, I think you're exactly right, Tony. And sustainability is so much broader than environmental sustainability, right? The environmental impact of an action is just one leg of the sustainability stool. You also have to look at economic sustainability and social sustainability. But certainly when we talk about environmental sustainability, I think it's pretty easy to consider the thread of climate change that is kind of woven into almost every decision that's come from the Biden administration. And, you know, I think that in the past, cattle producers and agricultural producers have seen that as concerning, just because there's a lot of international data that floats around about the impact of livestock production on climate change. But that's not the case in the United States. You know, internationally, livestock contribute about 14.5% of global greenhouse gas emissions. But in the United States, that number is only 2%. And that's largely because of the work done by our producers on the ground. Improved genetics, increased use of technology, grazing management. Those are all practices that are implemented by cattle producers across the country to actively reduce our emissions, right? Reduce our environmental impact. And so I think that this discussion about climate change or the prioritization of climate change in this administration gives us a really unique opportunity to talk about the environmental value provided by U.S. cattle producers and the, you know, helping consumers feel like, you know, they can be comfortable eating a burger in the United States because it was sustainably produced in a way that's good for the environment and good for the economy.
So is it safe to also assume that when this discussion started last time, which was about 10 years ago, that the industry found out it was better to be at the table than on the table? And would you characterize the ag industry is having, they do have a seat at the table?
I think you make a really good point. You know, if if we learned anything from our previous actions, it's that, you know, if we're silent, that doesn't mean that the story's not going to be told. It's just going to be told from someone else's viewpoint, right? So if we don't participate in the conversation, if we don't talk about the value that we provide, we're just going to be painted in the light of people who maybe don't like animal agriculture or don't like cattle production. So it's so important for NCBA and individual cattle producers across the country to talk about the environmental value that you see on your ranch, on your operation, because if cattle producers don't talk about the good work that they're doing, there's no way the consuming public's ever going to know about it.
And it's not necessarily bragging if you're helping somebody understand what you do.
Exactly. I think that cattle producers are so good at getting up and going to work every day and coming home and going to bed and never really talking about what they do. And we're an incredibly humble industry. But this is one of those times where it's so important to talk about what you do on your land and how you, you know, conserve natural resources while also producing a nutritious food product. It's something that very few people in the world get to do every day. And so we want to make sure that you get credit for all of the value that you provide.
So good to see you. Wish you the best.
Thank you.
Mary Thomas Hart, Environmental Council, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, on today's Agribusiness Report.